The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Yes, it's a new day. It is a new day. And when God speaks, we have to own it. When God speaks, he is not a man that he lies, neither the son of man that he will repent. Once he has spoken, he will do. Hallelujah. That is the word of God. He says it is a new day. So say it confidently. It is a new day. You know, this past week, if you have not joined the life group or you have not been part of the this past week of prayers, I don't even know where to start now, honestly, because I feel something moving seriously amongst us. I feel God really, really starting something new in our lives as individuals, as a church. Indeed, it is a good day. And all the prayer points that we were praying today, that we were praying this past week, as I was preparing this teaching, I was just connecting all of them one by one. It was just like a seamless connection. And it wasn't like I was doing, how do they say it in the exam now? Wuru-wuru to the answer. You know, when you know where you are going, then it's easy to just find your way and navigate to where you want to get to. No, I had almost practically finished the scripture, the teaching, and I started to look at it one after the other, like, wow, this one connects with this prayer point. This one connects with this prayer, and I was not part of coming up with that prayer point. It's a confirmation again for me that God indeed is set to do something new in our lives, and we will be partakers of it in the mighty name of Jesus. Each new day, when we say it is a new day, it's a new day for opportunity. You know, it's a new day of opportunities. Bishop Shonaye, Femi Shonaye, when he comes here, he says it's a good day, it's a new day, because when you wake up and your hands are moving, then you know it's a good day. When you open your eyes and you can see, then you know it's a good day. It doesn't just end there. What it simply means also is that it is another fresh opportunity for us to start something new. It's a new day because God wants to do something fresh, something new, and he will do it for us in the mighty name of Jesus. As human beings, especially as adults, it is a natural tendency for us when we have the opportunity to go forward. It's a natural tendency for us to always want to look back. There's even a proverb. There's a proverb in Yoruba that says that Tomodeba Shubu Awowaju Tagbaba Shubu Aweni. What that means for those that don't speak Yoruba is that when a little child, maybe he's walking or running, and falls down, he just picks himself up, looks in the front, and continues. But when an adult falls down, the first thing is looking back. Who saw me? How did I embarrass myself? How did I make this mistake? What's going on? And at times, they can look back and get stuck in that position. You have heard the word now that says it's a new day. Maybe because of the past things that has happened in the past, you may be saying to yourself, no, be today, they don't come again. Which new day? I've heard that before. I've heard that in time past. So what's going to be different today? I'm here to tell you that it is going to be different for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Why? Because the scripture says in Isaiah 43, 18 to 20, it says, forget all that. I like the way it starts. It says, forget all that. If you think, oh, things has gone very well in the past, so what's the big deal? What's going to be happening again in the new day? scripture is saying, forget all that. If you think that, oh, things hasn't worked well. I've heard so many prophecies. I've heard so many words. Oh, this is what's going to happen. This is what God is saying. This is the new thing that we're entering into. I've heard orishirishi, and it hasn't worked. I haven't seen it manifest. Scripture is for you also. It's saying, forget all that. Say to your neighbor, forget all that. It says, it is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? That means it is possible for you, for the thing to be staring you in the face, and you are not seeing it. So that question, do you not see it, is to trigger your inquisitiveness or curiosity. Is to trigger it and say, where is this thing they say I should see? Do you not see it? When, what's his name now? King, Jezebel's husband, what's his name? Ahab. Thank you for Bible scholars. When Ahab, after Elijah had finished dealing with the false prophets, and the rain was about to come, he said, go and check. They went. They didn't see the rain. Go and check again. He said, they didn't see the rain. He was more or less asking them, can you not see it? The rain is coming. Can you not see it? I'm declaring to you today that because it is a new day, the rain is coming. In the mighty name of Jesus. God is saying, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me. The jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland, so my chosen people can be refreshed. And so shall it be for you in the mighty name of Jesus. So, we have things that we have experienced in the past. And these things make us to be stuck in our past. We can easily be stuck in our past without knowing. But we have to identify those things. What are those things? Well, what are those experiences that make us to be stuck and not wanting us to enter into a new day? Now, not wanting us, or is not giving us the desire to be excited about the new day. Because like I said, a new day means new opportunities. A new day means new opportunities to explore, new things to do, new things God wants to do. So what are those things that we've experienced in the past that is not causing the excitement that God expects us to have? Number one is what I call past positives. Past positives. We stunt our growth when we get satisfied with what God has done yesterday. When we are comfortable with where we are, we say, oh, I have a good life. I'm all right. So what am I expecting again in a new day? There's nothing. There's no big deal. What else can happen? And there are people in the scriptures that was in this kind of position. The rich fool, for example, in Luke 12:16-21. Luke 12:16-21, if you can bring the scripture up, I'll appreciate. Luke 12:16-21. He says, then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produces fine crops. You know, when you talk about fertile farm, I can tell you for free that as best as we can as farmers to prepare our land, till our soil and do all the stuff, if the hand of God is not on it, honestly, you are wasting your time. So this was a case of someone that was enjoying a fertile farm because God's hand was on it. We continue. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods, and I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Enjoy yourself. Calm down. No more need to hustle. What do you want again that you have not gotten? What is it that you still want God to do? Or let me put it in a way we don't usually say it, but we think it. What is it again that God can still do? Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? There's so much more. Whatever it thinks, no matter where we think that we are or what we think we have achieved, there's still so much more that can be done. There's still so much more that can be done. Another example in the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4. 29 to 30. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4, 29 to 30. Nebuchadnezzar, very proud, confident human being. He looked at himself one day and was practically declaring that he is God. Daniel 4, 29 to 30. 12 months later, in spite of the fact that there was a prophecy that had already told him ahead what was going to happen to him if he did not humble himself. Daniel 4, 29 to 30. It says, 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. And as he looked out across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. And we know what happened immediately after that. While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with wild animals and you will eat grass like a cow. That will not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. This was someone experiencing false positives. And because of a good life, he was not interested in anything called a new day. He was not interested in God even doing anything again for him. If you read Daniel chapter 1, it was very clear there that God delivered Judah to Babylon. It was God. Scriptures wrote it. God said it there in the scriptures, Daniel chapter 1. He says it was God that delivered. It wasn't his might that made them conquer Israel. It was God that handed them over for a season because of what they've done. But here he was enjoying his life and thinking, oh, it's because of my power. You know, for all of us also, we may be at that point also thinking that all is going well for me. I have a beautiful family. I have a fantastic business or a good job. What more can God do? Oh, they say it's a new day. Uh-huh. Well, I'm here to tell you that in spite of whatever, no matter what you think, wherever you think you are today, there's still more for you in God. There's still more for you in God. Second thing that makes us to be stuck in the past is past negatives. Past negatives. We often miss God's purpose for our lives because we are caught up in the mistakes of our past. We're caught up in the mistakes of our past. Luke 23, 39 to 43 tells us the story of the thief that is on the cross. There were two thieves on the cross with Jesus. One of the criminals, I'm reading Luke 23, 39. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you are the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and in the process save us too. While you're at it, But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God? Even when you have been sentenced to die, we deserve to die for our crimes, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." So these were two people that had had negative experiences in life. But you can see the way both of them took their negative experience. One said to Jesus, "Remember me in your kingdom, because I know that there is still more to this, my life." The other one said, "Jesus, Shebi, you say you are God. Shebi, you say you are powerful. Yeah, deliver now." More or less spiting. It wasn't like, it didn't sound like he actually believed that Jesus even had power. It was more like joining them to taunt him. So Jesus was on the cross. The people were there laughing at him, jeering at him. And even him that was also sentenced to die, hanging on the cross, did not even think, let me reconsider my position. Let me reconsider my life. All he wanted to do was to join those people that were taunting Jesus. "Oh, you get the power. Oh, yeah, deliver us. Deliver yourself and deliver us too now." So false negatives, past negatives. We have examples of that. Another one, 2 Samuel 17:23, the story of Ahithophel. 2 Samuel 17:23. We've all made different mistakes in our lives. At times, God even allows some mistakes to happen. And that's the case of Ahithophel here. Absalom had planned a coup against David, his father. The coup was almost done because David technically was out of the palace and was on the run. Ahithophel was one of the wisest men in the land. He was the one that used to give David advice. So he approached Absalom. Absalom asked him a question, "What do you think I should do right now?" And he gave Absalom an advice that was actually very good. Told him what to do. A good advice. And Absalom decided he wasn't going to take the advice and chose another person's advice, which was wrong. That wasn't on Ahithophel. But Ahithophel could not even stand the fact that I am me, a whole me, Ahithophel, a whole me. I will give you advice, you will not take it. He could not handle the negative at that position, at that time in his life. He went to kill himself. Which ear will hear that a whole Ahithophel counsel to King David will give you, small Absalom, advice you will not hear? How? Who? Which? When? Why? So many W questions. He couldn't handle it until he killed himself. He went to commit suicide. He could not wait for the new day. You gave the advice. They didn't take it. Big deal. Tomorrow is another day. You've made a mistake. Big deal. Why are you beating yourself? Tomorrow is another day. And God has not even said it's tomorrow. God has said it is a new day. Receive it. Receive it. Believe it. And watch God make it happen. Why are we also stuck again? Why do we find ourselves stuck in the past? We also have what we call past pain. Past pain. Past pain. Look at the story of David and Bathsheba. We know the story. David killed Uriah, used Kurukere, took Bathsheba as wife. And from that came a baby. But God is a just God. God does not see evil and overlook it. God can forgive you if you ask for mercy. God will forgive you if you ask for mercy. But God will not overlook it. So God told David, "This child that has come out of the relationship, which I am not happy with, this child will die. What did David start doing? He started rolling on the floor. God, have mercy. God, I beg. God, I beg. Why now? No, I'm sorry. He begged and begged and begged. But God was adamant that this is what I will do. David was in pain. He was in sackcloth, rolling all over the floor, begging God until the child died. And as soon as it was in so much pain that when the child died, nobody was bold enough to go and meet him and say, King, sir, the child has died. They were afraid because, you know, those days, if you are a king, if you do like this, the person's head is gone just for coming to deliver a message. And it is not an offense. It is the power that they wield. They were all afraid because of the pain that they saw David going through. A lot of times also, we have pain that we have experienced. We have pain that we are carrying up and down. But God is saying, drop it the way David dropped it. Because as soon as they told him that the child is dead, what did he do? He just woke up and got up and moved on. The people that came to tell him that the child is dead were even shocked. They would have been asking in their mind, like, was this guy pretending all along? Because this person that is in pain, crying, wailing, day after day, night after night, God, have mercy. Don't let this baby die. It's not this child's fault. It's me. I'm the one that caused this problem. Leave this innocent boy. He doesn't know anything. A number of times, we are in that kind of situation where we are saying that this pain is too much. David realized that there was nothing he can do about the pain of the past. He let it go. Immediately, he rose up. Through that same relationship that God did not approve of, came Solomon. Came the greatest king of Israel. Through that same relationship, we have to learn to know when to let the pain of the past go. Someone has hurt you. Someone has done something very, very, very upsetting. Let it go. Let it go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Need to move fast now. Past errors. Past errors is another thing that makes us to be locked in the past. Past errors. We, as human beings, will always make mistakes. Accept it. And don't struggle with, you have made a mistake. You are human. They say it is air. To hear is human. It's only God that doesn't make a mistake. And you are not God. Samson and Delilah, Judges chapter 16. Past errors. Samson looked in the whole land and said, it is only Delilah that he wants to marry. Bible says that he fell in love with Delilah. And as soon as he fell in love with Delilah and confessed his love to Delilah, the Philistines came to meet Delilah. We want to kill that guy that says he's in love with you. We're going to give you 1,100 silver coins, all of us. And we have to be careful how we fall in love and who we fall in love with. Because think about it. Samson, the greatest warrior at that line, at that time, the defender of Israel, the one fighting for them, the judge of the land at that time, looked in the whole land and saw a beautiful girl and says, Delilah, I love you. Love can turn a big gigantic warrior. Love, this thing called love, eh? Wahala, wahala, wahala. The first thing that Delilah came to do with Samson, tell me the secret of your power. He must have been rubbing Samson's head. Ah, maybe you say you love me.
tell me the secret of your power. This thing that's just making your hand to be strong. I can't even touch it. You are macho man. Tell me the secret of your power. You know we're going to have children so that I can also let the children know and begin to be like you. Tell me the secret of Samson's head too was swelling. It was like this. Enjoying it. He was still a little bit wise. Told her a lie. Okay. Tie me with strings, bow strings that has never been used before. Use it to tie me. If they do that, nobody, I will become weak. The very next night, tied him up. I called Philistines. Samson, the Philistines are on you. God still gave him power. Boom, tore the fresh strings. Dealt with the Philistines. At that point, why didn't he say, you mean you betrayed me like this? But that thing called love. Oh my God. He was in love. Not so long after that, the money they promised Delilah was still very enticing to her. Came back again. Samson, my love. Samo. Samsoni. Macho man. Tell me, what is the secret of your power? After all the massaging and ego, I'm sure someone would have been telling Samson, "Shut up, obinrin," but he did not hear. He told her a lie again. Tie me with fresh flax, ropes made from flax, fresh, never used before. I will become weak. She did it again. Called the Philistines in. Samson, the Philistines are on you. Boom. Tore it. You know, I can keep on dramatizing all the old thing that happened. He dealt with the Philistines the third time again. He now told him, the thing was getting closer. First, he started with strings. Second time, he said, use rope. The third time, he said, this is my hair. Tie it together. It's getting closer to the source of the matter. What power that women have? What power? This thing called love that God created, if used wrongly, can be very destructive. If used correctly, can build mighty nations, can do great things. Accelerate forward. Finally, she came the fourth time. Samson, how can you say you love me and you have lied to me three times? Three times that I have attempted to kill you and you have lied to me three times. How can you say you love me? Love makes Samson stupid. Because technically what she was saying is that I have tried to kill you three times. To show you my own way of loving you. And three times you have lied to me. Hello? Should he not have borrowed himself brain that time? Finally gave in. Okay, my hair never been touched before. If you shave it, I'll lose my power. Only God knows what she would have done to Samson. For Samson to fall so deeply asleep that they shaved his hair completely and he didn't wake up. Only God knows what she would have done. But that story for another day. Why is this a past error? I'm stopping and I'm thinking. The fact that they shaved his hair and arrested him and turned him to a court jester. I'm not sure that is so much of what really got Samson so angry that he asked God to give him the final power to destroy them when he was in the temple. I think what really, really, really got to him was his sudden awareness of how much of a fool he was for falling in love. He's saying to myself, all these things I'm describing now, how did I not know that this woman was planning to destroy me? How could I have made that mistake? We have made mistakes in the past that we are sitting in the place of just continually questioning ourselves. It's not so much the implications of the mistake now. That one is there, dusted. But the fact that you made that error, we keep beating ourselves and not moving forward. Maybe you are the one I'm talking to today. God is saying, today is a new day. Stop beating yourself. You've made the mistake. Move on. It's a new day. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a new day. It's a new day. You've committed the error stupidly, yes. Foolishly, yes. But it is a new day. You've been in relationships that you knew yourself that you should not have gone into. Now it is hurting you. And you are out of it and you are blaming yourself. Don't worry. It is a new day. It is a new day for opportunities. New opportunities for new relationships. In the mighty name of Jesus. And finally, what keeps us stuck in the past? What keeps us stuck in the past and not seeing the new day is what I will call past sin. I'm not going to dwell too much on this because the scriptures are very clear. Romans 3:23-24. It says, For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We all. Is it some people? Is it a few people? Is it only one person? We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Everyone has sinned. You've committed a sin in the past. You've done something wrong. You know that heavens was not happy with you. It is in the past. It is a new day. It's a new day for you to start afresh. It's a new day for you to ask for mercy. It's a new day for you to ask God for forgiveness. Because if you don't, it is common knowledge. It is often said that many times our past hinders our present and can abort our future. May that not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. But if you do not let your past go, it can hinder your present and go on to abort the future. We cannot remain a people of the past. That's why God has now declared that it is a new day. I want to tell you a story of a woman. She's going through a lot. You know when they say someone is going through a lot? You know what that means in Nigeria now? When they say you are going through a lot. So this woman had been married a couple of times. Things hasn't worked. Don't even know if she has children or not. She's gradually walking, left her house. Very likely that her husband, the man she's living with, has just abused her, insulted her, useless woman. No wonder your other husband's left you. Useless, good for nothing. Abused her, insulted her. She just left the house with a bucket to go to the stream to fetch water. Minding her business, thinking about her life. I'm wondering how she made all these mistakes. Where did she get it wrong? What did she do to God? Is she the only one? She's bothered, carrying all that load on top of her head. Only for her to get to the stream where she wants to fetch the water. And she sees someone there at the stream, sitting down there, and says, "Madam, get me water." I'm sure the thoughts in her head would have been, "Oga, what have I done to you again? You too, you're looking for trouble, Abe. Look, I'm going through a lot. Don't add your own a lot to my a lot. Just stay your lane. Let me stay my lane." Hallelujah. The story I just described to you is the story of the person in the Bible that the Bible calls the Samaritan woman, the woman that had 5 husbands. You can connect to it, right? James 4:5-42. tells us about this story. You know, usually when we hear the story of one woman that has had five husbands, the first thing that comes to our mind is that, why is she so promiscuous? Why is she just jumping from man to man? But the Bible does not say anything about being promiscuous, because the Bible is explicit, clear. If she was promiscuously jumping from man to man, it would have been stated. If we know anything about Jewish history, we will know that when a woman is married, she's no longer herself. She doesn't own herself anymore. Probably the family she married into. Maybe the first husband she married died. And by default, they transferred her to the second person. Or the first husband says he's not doing it again for whatever reasons. I've seen people married, and they just come to you and say, I don't love this woman again, or I don't love this man again. I don't want again. As a counselor, as a pastor, apart from pray for them, what can you do? It's a tough place to be. It's a worrisome place to be. And it's a worrisome trend that I'm very sure God is not pleased with. It's a worrisome trend. When you stand in front of God, take vows of marriage. Marriage vows till death do you part. Then you just wake up one day and say, I don't love him again. Or I don't love her again. You need to show me in the scriptures where that is written, that you can do that. But it's a trend going on right now. So that could have been the case of this woman. Why did she have five husbands? And even the one she's living with right now is not even her husband. I don't have the full details, but I want to definitely rule out the possibility that she was promiscuous. First thing we have to get from this story of this woman is that all of us have our stories. When God brings people into our lives, our first duty or first point of call is not to judge them. It's not to judge them. This woman was going through a lot. A lot is more than some people's a lot. And the truth is that a lot, as big as it looks also, you may be sitting down there and say, my own a lot is more than your own a lot. All of us are going through a lot. But God is saying, that's your a lot. It is a new day. Yeah. Yes, it is a new day. Because God is going to take it away in the mighty name of Jesus. We are not to judge people when God brings them into our lives. Because all of us have our different stories. Only you and God know where you are coming from. When God brings someone into your life that has a story, there's a reason. Maybe God is saying that, learn from that story, or use that story to help that person, or use that story to help yourself. Hallelujah. Every time you hear that it is a new day, this woman experienced a new day. So she had new opportunities. And we'll pick from that story. It's a long read, so I won't be able to read everything right now. But when we get home, if we can, John chapter 4, verses 5 to 42, we can read it. When this woman had the opportunity, John 4, 5 to 42, sorry, I'll quickly open it. I'll pick some parts of the Bible there, of the scripture there. Verse 7 is the first part we're going to pick. John 4, verse 7. Jesus said to her, okay, I'll just start reading from verse 5. It says, eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Verse 7. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. So the first thing that happened to her is that she had the opportunity to sow. Remember, we said that when a new day arises and is a new, it means new opportunities. So the first opportunity that was presented to her was an opportunity to sow. Jesus said, give me a drink. Pastor has said to, has taught us over and over here that anytime God is saying, give me something, it's because he wants to give you something. Every time you are hearing give, what it simply means is that be prepared to receive. Now, when we have to be comfortable with the fact that when God says, give me a, what God wants to give you may not be what you want, but it is definitely what you need. You may be giving God, maybe there is an opportunity to sow, and you sow 10,000 naira. And God, and you are expecting a miracle that God will give you 100,000, 10 times more. That's a good deal, right? That's like kalu kalu. But God doesn't do that. When you sow that 10,000, and God knows how painful it is, God knows what it means to you, what that seed means to you. God is saying that you think you need 100,000, but no, me, I think you need a house. So that you don't pay rent again. Hallelujah. We have to be comfortable with that. And that's why we should never hold back from sowing. That's why we should never hold back from sowing. It is an opportunity for us to give. Every time it is a new day, it's a new opportunity for us to give. So, for example, in this instance, what could you be giving in today's time? What could you be giving? Not necessarily just seed. When you hear giving, we usually would always conclude that it is giving. You could be giving your time. You could be giving your time. You could be making out time to impact lives. You could be, and you know, I said earlier on that this past week of prayer, those prayer points were just connecting with the message of today. So when you give your time, for example, one of the prayer points that we've been praying in this past week is that when Jesus comes, he will find us preaching the gospel, right? Those of you that have been attending the prayer meetings, isn't that one of our prayer points? That when Jesus comes, he will find us preaching the word. He will find us sharing the gospel. So that essentially means that we are giving our time. And when we give our time, we are building castles in the kingdom of heaven. Not only can we be giving our time, we can be giving of our resources and impacting lives. I was watching a video online, there was a man who was an American, I think, and was talking about what he would wants to have achieved by the time he is leaving this world. He said he's not interested in building mansions everywhere. He said he's not interested in having big, mighty businesses all around. He said his primary focus is that when he is dead, let thousands of people be standing over his grave and say, if not for this man, I wouldn't have gone to school. If not for this man, my life would have been, I would have probably been in prison. If not for this, that was his life ambition. That, oh, how many people will I be able to run through college? Would I be able to send to universities? How many people would I essentially be able to make impact in their lives? That was his life goal. And I believe that is what God is saying also, that when you have a new day, it is an opportunity for you to sow into the lives of people. Second opportunity that arose is in verse 11 to 13. verse 11 to 13. It says, I'll accelerate. God says, Jesus said, please give me a drink. He was alone at that time. Verse 9 says, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans, blah, blah, blah. I move to verse 10. Jesus replied, if only you knew the gift God asked for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Then the woman said, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. She said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? So Jesus was talking about giving her water if she gave him water. And the woman is saying, but you don't have buckets. You don't have rope. What does that mean? When it is a new day and you are standing with God, God will open opportunities for you to do things differently from how you've been doing it in the past. So if you've been looking for water and all you've been doing is, oh, bucket, water, draw water from the well, Jesus is saying there's a different way. There's a new type of water that if you drink, you will never go thirsty. So there's a new way that God can reveal to you. You can have the opportunity to try new things. You have the opportunity to try new things. And because they are new, they require you to trust God. They require you to trust God, which is why, again, linking it to one of the prayer points at the prayer sessions. They didn't even tag a Bible scripture to it. The prayer points in the if you've been joining the life group meetings this week, the prayer point simply said, "Give me the grace to trust you with all my heart." You can't try new things with God if you don't trust God. You can try new things if you don't trust God. So when it is a new day, you get an opportunity to try new things. We go on. I'll move to verse 16 very quickly. It says, they had the back and forth. Give me, I'll give you this water, blah, blah, blah. Then he said, give me this water. Then Jesus said in verse 16, go and get your husband. Jesus told her. And she replied immediately, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you are right. You don't have a husband. Jesus did not judge her. Jesus only confirmed that she was honest. So when it is a new day, it's an opportunity for you to now be honest with yourselves. It's an opportunity for you to be honest with yourself and say, okay, I'm starting a new day. Yesterday, I made mistakes. Yesterday, I committed some blunders. Yesterday, I lied. I sinned. Yesterday, I did some things that I ought not to have done. But God, I'm standing before you today. Forgive my past. I'm being honest. And that takes us into the prayer, the final prayer on that list that we've been praying this past week. It says, have mercy on me and deliver me from every mess of my life. Abby? You see how the whole thing is just connecting. This past week, someone called me, a friend, someone I know. He said, I entered into a business transaction that appeared very profitable. And I borrowed money to finance this business from investors, as in people that, you know, these 5%, 7% per month kind of transactions. It's been almost 7 months now. The people I supplied have not paid. I'm in problem because the interest is piling. That is a classic example of someone that is in a mess. Genuine business, so it's not fraud, it's not Yahoo. Genuine business, but is now in a mess. Pastor, what do we do? And he prayed. We prayed this prayer. Deliver me from this mess. Yesterday morning, the person woke up and just got an idea and said, let me send a strongly worded email to this organization. He didn't use lawyer. He didn't do anything. He just woke up and crafted the letter and sent it to the organization. He has had numerous meetings, though, numerous face-to-face meetings with this organization. They say, there's no money. We'll wait. There's no money. You wait. Within 3 hours of them receiving that email, alert entered, dying. Just yesterday. So when they haven't finished paying, but they will finish paying in the mighty name of Jesus. But just think about it. This could only be the answer to a prayer. God, deliver me from the mess of my past. When you are honest that I've made a mistake, when you are honest and you are not, you know, as human beings, I don't know what's wrong with us. When we make mistakes, we are bragging and holding onto it. We don't want to accept it. Anybody can make a mistake. This guy genuinely made a mistake. Came to God. Deliver me from every mess in my life. And God delivered him. God will deliver us all in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that is holding us because of the errors of our past, God will deliver us from it in the mighty name of Jesus. And that takes us to verse 21 to 24 of this story. Verse 21 to 24. I really need to move fast now. It says, Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter. Before this, the woman was saying, if you are a prophet, tell me, why is it that the Israelites believe that you can only pray in Jerusalem? And we believe that, no, you have to pray in Hezron. Then Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on the mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So essentially what Jesus was saying here was that there is the traditional way you've always been doing things. There's the old way you've always been doing things. As Samaritans, you want to pray, you want to talk to your God, you go to a Mount Hezron and go and pray. But Jesus is saying, no. I'm breaking barriers. I'm breaking old barriers because it is a new day. I want to start doing something. I want to start doing things different. The things that you have done in the past, the ways you've done things in the past that has held you down, all of that must change. What's the prayer that links to this? Hebrews 13:8. We've been saying Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. And we've been praying that all the errors of our yesterday, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus should stretch his hand to our yesterday and do what? Uproot everything that represents tradition that is holding us down, that's holding us back and not letting us enter fully into the new day. God is ready to break barriers on our behalf because it is a new day. Verse 28 to 29. As soon as she understood all of what God is doing, and God declared to him in verse 26 first, he says, then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Verse 28, what did she do? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Without dwelling on this too much, also very clear, the prayer point, when Jesus comes, he will meet me sharing the word of God. She got the revelation that Jesus was the Messiah. She went into the village preaching the good news, telling people about Jesus, telling people about the Savior. And that's what God is saying, that once it is a new day, opportunity for you to carry the gospel and share it with people. Take that advantage in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 39 to 42. Verse 39 to 42. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said,
He told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days. The Bible doesn't say there, but you know, what follows Jesus everywhere he goes? Signs and wonders and miracles. For Jesus to have stayed there for 2 days, I'm sure he wasn't just preaching. He was healing the sick. He was laying hands. He was raising the dead. He was, the blind was able to, he was doing miracles, I'm almost sure. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. What's the prayer point for this? We've been praying. Bless me. And let the whole world fear you. Bless me indeed, and let the whole world fear you. Psalm 67, verse 7. We've been praying it. This woman received so much, the word of God received so much blessing that the world, everywhere he went, everybody was responding to the word of God. And finally, the opportunity. The last opportunity that happens with us in a new day is another opportunity. Every time it is a new day, it is an opportunity for us to start afresh with Jesus. It's an opportunity for us to start afresh with Jesus. Today is the new day. Jesus is here right now. And he's saying that, I don't care if you've given your life to Christ in the past and you've backslid. You've taken your life back, so to say. Today is an opportunity for you to start afresh.